Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes? I must say, looking very dapper in your shirt.
Thank you. I'm a bit dressed up for sitting in my flat, but I'm not. I'm going out after the show. So, you can see all of my decorations. I put some more up. My little tinsel wall. I'm getting more tinsel.
Oh, I don't think I saw them lights last
time. They weren't there last time. I treated myself to a Friday night out at B&Q and spent £15 on lights and tinsel, but I need to spend more on tinsel. There's not enough tinsel. So
we were that age, though, where I love nothing more of a weekend than going, I love a bit of home bargains, I love just going shopping. I don't know when it happened.
Spending on shit.
Yeah, and I get real joy out of buying cleaning products and squeegees.
It's age. It's just our age.
It is. When you stood there, like, it used to be back in the day, I'd be stood in a department store sniffing aftershaves. Now I'm smelling Sephora.
Well, the difference is now is you probably know what you like, whereas back in the day, it would be like, well, I'll just try them all. Whereas now, if they thrust an aftershave on me in a department, I'm like, get away from me.
We know what we like. And even when it comes to, this is a thing as well, quite a statement. Even when it comes to cleaning products, I have a signature smell now.
Do you? What is it?
Well,
Sephora.
Because of my OCD tendencies, from my scented beads, you know, that you put in your washing machine, to my softener, to my pods, to my free, you know, the things you plug in, but I have one that's a free thing, so
free.
They're all spring awakening, so everything matches.
All year round?
All year round.
Okay.
So everything from cleaning, from everything that goes in the washing machine to the sheets that I spray with a decrease, that all spring awakening. I think it's Lenore, not an ad, but if you're listening, Lenore, please hook me up.
We will take a sponsorship.
And we absolutely will. And yeah, spring awakening. And then when it comes to something which you can't get in that scent, because there's going to be one or two things, mm-hmm. anything that's kind of like linen or clean washing,
you
know, that smell like baby powder.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
Well, I think that's I can't say I'm quite that level, but when my sister comes to visit, first thing she'll say when she walks in the door, oh, it smells clean, thank God. Because in my old flat in Bethnal Green, which was, I'm going to be honest, my shared flat, a little bit mouldy and a little bit ropey, she'd always come in and she'd be like, "What is this disgusting?" But like when you live there, you kind of got used to like the dampness of it. Now I live in a new build flat; there is no damp. My sister will always bring like some kind of Zaflora cleaning product for me. So now whenever she comes, I put it in the sink and put my dishcloth in there so that she smells it as soon as she comes in. So, you know, we've all got our little things.
Absolutely. And it's always very important to do that because people forget to wash their cloths and things. But a bit of boiling water in the bottom of your sink, bit of Sephora or something, and let that soak overnight. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
but I think you become immune to your own house smell. But when I notice it, if I'm away for a few days at work or on holiday or something, when I put that key in the door or Jim's walk past someone, I'm like, oh, they smell like my ass.
Oh, that's quite nice.
I just love that. But I remember when you used to go around friends' houses after school?
Yeah.
People's houses had a smell, not in like a bad way.
Yeah.
But and I don't know if it comes down to what their parents wash their clothes in or...
Probably.
I mean, I remember the days where, do you remember Shake and Vac?
Yeah, which is like a powder you poured all over the floor and then hoovered.
Yeah, one of my friends, mum, used to love this Shake and Vac. Even now, if I ever smell it, it reminds me of their house. I think smell's such a funny thing, but obsessed. Well, what a riveting start to the show.
I know, right?
Well, you're cleaning addicts.
How does your hotel room? I see you're not at home.
I know, I'm gutted because I've done my tree the day after we recorded last week's show and I thought, oh, I'm going to show Stephen next week, I'll have it in the background. And hasn't happened. I've got just my hotel bed behind me. But
they haven't even put a string of tinsel up in your hotel room. How depressing.
I ain't got a fairy light here. I ain't got any tinsel. I ain't even got a Christmas jumper to wear for the festivities. But next week, you'll get the full shebang. You'll have Bobby's Winter Wonderland.
Looking forward to it, babe.
Yeah, you're going to be impressed, I think.
Can't wait. I mean, I did see, I think it was on TikTok, maybe, you going around were you doing some kind of throwing a bauble?
Oh, yeah, but I've done the honorary reel that where you throw your bauble in and make out, and you close your door and make out that it took 3 seconds. The reality is it took 4.5 hours, yeah. But again, I love that time I spend doing a tree. But where I'm so particular with things, I have to stand back, look, move things. But then once I'm done, I'm done, because I do find myself sometimes sat on the sofa at night, and if I look too much at certain baubles,
you see a gap or something that
I find myself standing up and repositioning Bob, and I'm like, Bob, you've got to stop. But I've just got a weird brain.
I think maybe you need to see a therapist. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it probably wouldn't be a bad shout, that, actually.
Well, we have completely nothing to do with cleaning, I guess, or I don't think particularly festive either. We have Navid Soul up first, former apprentice candidate, but has also been on lots of different shows. We've got him up first. Then we have the most swiped right man on, let's just try and say that one, you've had a few, swiped right man on Tinder, Stephen Pierre Tomlin, on to talk all about what he's been up to. And finally, we have Freddie Bentley, former The Circle contestant, who's come on to talk about some health stuff that that's been going on, hasn't it? Hasn't he? And also, he's gone sober now. So, and at this time of year, that's probably quite tough if it's your first Christmas without drink. So, yeah, we've got some exciting guests. What's been catching your eye in the showbiz news world this week, Bob?
Quite a busy week, showbiz news. I always like to keep me hand in. I like to keep my feet in. I know I live and breathe showbiz, don't I? But my hand is well and truly in Harry and Meghan.
Oh, I hope they know. I hope it was consensual.
That come out wrong. I am so looking forward to watching this documentary. So we get the first 3 episodes released Thursday evening, and then the following 3 episodes the following Thursday. I'm being honest. I can't wait to watch it. What I want to take from this, though, is because I think when it comes to the trailers, fair play, whoever has put that together, this looks like a production and a half, and no money's clearly money ain't an issue. Let's have it right. But then when you've been paid $110 million, there's a couple of quid to play with.
Yeah, so.
What I really want to know, though, because from the clips I've seen, we're now on the second trailer. Bearing in mind, I think the first one was only a minute. This one, even slightly shorter, the second one, is that they're saying no one knows what's gone on behind closed doors apart from us. What I want after investing 6 hours in this, which I will be investing 6 hours, whilst probably standing up and rearranging baubles, I want to finally, when I turn that TV off after investing 6 hours, I want more of a conclusion, and I want some definitive answers that I don't know today before I watch F1.
Yeah.
Because obviously I watched Oprah. We've spoke about the Oprah interview when that was released. I followed it. It's in the press a lot, obviously. So we've got a rough idea what their story is or what their gripes are. What I do want, though, is I want to walk away thinking I've learned something, or we've got more information. Do you know what I mean by that? Like
100%. I think the difficulty is that you're only going to get one side.
This is always going to be the issue, though, because as we know, Kate and Will are never going to go and sit on Loose Women or on This Morning and have a chat.
Yeah.
So we're never going to get their side, which kind of does that put people... It absolutely puts people at a disadvantage, but I think because of their roles, obviously we cannot have the future king sitting on daytime chat shows or going to do Oprah and talking about it. But depending on what comes out, will the worm finally turn now? Like, as we know, the Queen's no longer with us. We now have a king. Is his attitude going to be different to the Queen's? Like her whole I went in and philosophy was she was never going to justify anything. Nothing was really ever going to get spoken about. They kind of was
very good at sitting,
yeah, very good at sitting back and just letting people do their bit, have their say, and not responding. I think when it comes to things being probably detrimental to the family and the institution, will one of them, whether it's William or King Charles, say enough's enough now? I mean, especially if the genie's out of the bottle, as we know, Meghan's spoke about on Oprah that there was concerns and that they feel there's racism. Are we going to find out who had these concerns? I think if that comes up, do the Palestine almost have to come back and say something?
Well, what we do know is that the Palace aren't getting an advanced copy of this, so they'll be watching it along with everyone else when it comes. First one comes out tomorrow when this comes out. Prince Charles has given interviews before. Other members of the royal family have. I mean, Prince Andrew did. That didn't go too well for him.
No.
And I wonder if maybe they will. If something comes to light that is so controversial and shattering for the royal family, I wonder if there is some world in which probably not William and Kate, or Charles and William, but one of them sits down with a trusted BBC interviewer and maybe does say something. But that's all dependent on whether or not something does come out, because I know that it's been suggested that Harry and Meghan were keen to cut some of the things out from the show, but were told that they couldn't because obviously Netflix have paid, like you said, a lot of money. And they're going to want people to have a reason to watch it. We've also got the book coming out in a matter of weeks, Harry's book Spare. So between all of them, depending on what they say, I reckon there is some sort of potential that we will hear something from them, because it seems like Harry and Meghan are prepared to go to any lengths to burn their bridges with the royal family. They're taking no prisoners. They're going all out. They have no interest, it seems, in making up with them again, which I think is a shame, but I do understand how you can come to that situation.
Yeah, I don't think Harry and William will be sat there pulling a cracker together Christmas Day.
I don't even think there'll be a Christmas call.
Passing the pigs in blankets.
No, somehow I don't think so. So yeah, I mean, like you, I will definitely be watching. I'm sure once we've seen those first episodes, we'll probably be able to come back next week and give some more commentary on them, because I'm sure there'll be a lot to say.
Absolutely, I think. And as we've seen, as time's gone on, I definitely think that the public swaying, people are almost taking sides, and like it's teams. I hope for Harry and Meghan's sake, after this Netflix documentary, which obviously will all be recorded now, that the book, I hope they get the closure thereafter. Because to me, this feels like the actions of two very hurt people, the way they're wanting to get their truth out, as they say. I hope they get that. My worry is, and where I was probably slightly optimistic and was hoping to, you know, when we got the photo of the formerly Fab Four after the Queen passed a couple of days before.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of came
all
out.
In black. And did,
yeah. I kind of thought, gosh, sometimes after a tragedy in a family, it brings people together. Sometimes it takes something so awful to happen to make people kind of bang their heads together. I can't help think, I think that it's done. I don't know how to come back from that. I mean, even down to like the first trailer, bet Kate was fuming. Like, Kate's, and I'm clearly on the other bus. She's a beautiful girl, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She ain't a bit of me, but she's a beautiful girl.
And they'd use pictures of her in the trailer, hadn't they?
Yeah, but I've never seen, in all the years, like, that image of her, or I've never seen that side of her. So to kind of see that, I can't imagine she's very happy.
No, and William neither.
Yeah, and it's, at the end of the day, it's so sad, because it is a family. And I can see why people are saying, are you going to back the real royal family or the reality TV royal family? And I think that also, they run the risk now of it looking like they're a reality TV show.
That's what it is. And I think we're going to have to, well, we haven't got long to wait until we'll be seeing it. So
next week, I could do the old show on it next week, but we certainly will be here with a chamomile, spilling the tea.
Maybe a bloody glass per second, because I think it's our last show of the year.
Maybe I'll put the chamomile back in the cupboard and we'll have St. Fizzy.
I'm up for that. Right, we have our first guest, an avid soul, formerly of The Apprentice, in the waiting room, so let's get in.
Beb.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Oh, hi,
Bob. Can.
How are you?
How are you? You all right, babe?
Yeah, how are you, Gorge? Looking
really good.
Really good,
thank you. Thanks for joining us this evening.
No, well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. There's a lot going on.
Well, yeah, what I was going to say was, basically, from The Apprentice to now, having gone out fairly early in The Apprentice, you've managed to make quite a decent sort of showbiz career for yourself. How's the whole ride been?
You know what? To be honest with you, it's been an amazing roller coaster. I'm not going to lie to you. Since after when I got back from once I finished The Apprentice and stuff, obviously, like, you know, I was like to myself, you know what? Let me just calculate and see what I can do. Because, you know, The Apprentice was such a big show. And you know what? You kind of have to utilize that platform to your advantage. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously, I tried to, like, gather my team, build a team around me, like a digital manager, social media. And I was like, you know what, Navid? Do what you have to do. And you know what? I just also love presenting. So, you know what? I got a good team around me. But at the same time, I'm doing my pharmacy. You know, obviously, that's my bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just like taking it as it goes, and whatever opportunity comes in my way, I just take it. Do you know what I mean? Life is short, enjoy it, and just live your dreams, basically.
When it comes to The Apprentice, how did you find that whole experience? Working alongside Alan Sugar and all that, because that's quite a show, isn't it?
Honestly, babe, with being in the boardroom with Lord Sugar, is honestly like, he is the sugar daddy. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you enter that boardroom, you can smell money. Do you know what I mean? He's got, it's that, like, literally, he's like, you know what? He is scary to be in front of, but I'm not going to lie, with me, he was actually quite nice. He was really supportive. But he did say to me in the early steps, like in the early process, like, Navid, I don't really have much experience when it comes to the whole pharmaceutical world. So when he said that, instantly, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get kicked out. You know, it's like a bee. He's going to just drop me off. And that's what happened. But, you know, he said, we'll stay in touch, and which we have. So he's been actually really supportive and nice. But yeah, but the boardroom is quite terrifying. But, you know, I did it. Well, you know, I made a bit of a career out of it. Do you know what I mean?
And how does that compare to then go on Celebs Go Dating? Because you've openly said you'd never even been on a date.
Yeah.
Before going on this show. So I guess from being scared, sat there with Alan, I'm calling Alan like he's my bestie. So you sat there with Lord Sugar, which I guess is terrifying, to then going on your first date.
Have you met him before?
Not to go and have a little chat with, no.
Really? But, like, when you just see him, do you find, like, he's scary? So I'm asking you questions, but I'm just interested to actually see what people think.
I don't find him scary. I kind of, but there's something very, that is something attractive. Like, it gives off, there's an energy, you know, where someone kind of holds themselves and conducts themselves in a certain way.
Bob.
Which I think is a very attractive thing. I'm not saying that I fancy Alan Sugar, by the way, but I think some people just have an energy.
Yeah, right. I know what you're trying to say. Yeah, it's just like that aura. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you enter the room, it's like he's not like the most approachable person. It's a bit like, you know, it's a bit scary. It's not like he's open to talk to people. I feel like that's the kind of energy he gives out.
Yeah, that's not a kind of man, I think. Bit of big dick energy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not getting that. I'm not getting that.
But he's a tough cookie, but yeah.
But with celebs go dating, how was that?
Like, you know what, celebs go dating, Stefan, that's a good question. I mean, it has been a journey, honestly speaking, because with myself, it's like, it still takes time for me to discover what I like, because like I say, it's like, I'm a place where I'm a bit like, not sure what I like. I'm drawn to men, like, you know, I love like a masculine man, like muscles. It's like an example being like Bobby. Do you see that vibe, that aura that he's giving?
Oh, am I a bit of that you, baby?
Say that again.
Am I a bit of you, babe?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. Okay.
No, do you know what I mean? It's like, I like that masculine, you know, that masculine vibe. But then, do you know what I mean? But then there's that side of me that also wants to kind of make my parents happy as well. I mean, they're very open-minded. They don't care with whoever I go with. But you know, when you get that sense that they just want you to be with a female, I don't know, do you get that? And then that kind of puts me in a position of what do I do? Like, I'm stuck.
But you know what you like, right?
Yeah. I like men. I'm not gonna lie. I like guys. But then there's always the side of me in the back of my mind, like, make your parents happy as well. And that kind of doesn't just like, it kind of draws me back. Like, Navid, what are you doing? Do you know what I mean? And then I feel like, am I doing something that's wrong?
That's a really, really difficult thing to overcome.
It is.
But you're never gonna be able to make your parents happy if you're not happy with yourself.
And that's the thing, my darling, like, everybody says that, but literally, if you're in my shoes, it is very hard. It's like, people say, just do what you want to do, like, life is easy, you know, just make yourself happy. But in reality, it's like, you know, your parents are like people that supported you, you know, they've done everything for you. So it's like, and I'm a person that's really thoughtful, like, I care about them as well. I'm not just someone who's selfish, where I'm like, you know what, I don't give a fuck what you guys say. Oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to swear, am I?
You can swear, that's fine.
You can swear.
Apologies, like, you know. So I was like, you know, I'm a person that's really considerate, and I'm always like grateful to people who supported me, and I want to give back, if that makes sense.
Because you feel that your parents would rather you date and end up with a woman.
Yeah.
How are they handling you dating men on Celebs Go Dating and the thought of you bringing home a guy? Have you thought about that or had that conversation? Can you take a guy home?
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, my mum, bless her, you know, it's always the mums. The mums are the more like open-minded, you know, they're more loving. I think the mums are always more understanding. My dad, he's also understanding, but I feel like with my dad, he's a bit more strict. But obviously, you know, dads are dads, right? They're slightly more stricter compared to your mums. But I think they haven't said, no, you can't bring a guy home. But with my dad, I feel like he keeps saying, like, why don't you just go with a woman? Why don't you try being with a woman? Like, you know, they're like saying, why don't you explore your sexuality more? Like, go and have sex with both, you know, males and females and just see what you like. Like, try a bit of vagina, try a bit of a dick. Do you know what I mean?
But then what if you did all of that and then still came back to liking men?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I had the conversation actually about that. They were like, you know, fair enough. If you had, like, if you tried having sex with both men and, you know, with a man or woman, and you prefer a man more than a woman, then fair enough. But at this stage, when you haven't really tried anything, you can't really just assume, oh, you like men when you haven't tried a vagina.
Do you know
what I'm trying to say?
I absolutely know what you're trying to say, but it's the same discussion I think I had with myself when I was about 15 or 16, but I'm this is unsolicited advice, but I'm gonna say it anyway. You know what you like, you know it inside.
I know
you,
what,
right?
I like, I know.
So you're not, I mean, why go on Celebs Go Dating if and do you know what I mean, if you're not at least kind of sure what you might like?
And that's a good point. But the whole reason why I thought this would be a good opportunity is because obviously you get to go on different dates, and I really haven't been on an actual proper date with like a man or a woman. So I thought, you know what, this is the perfect time for me to explore my sexuality, see what I like, and just see, like, you know, what comes out of it, because I really want a relationship. I've not been in a relationship before. It's like, I'm, you know, I'm 28 now, for flip's sake. I want to go into bed with someone. I want someone to warm me, like make me feel special. Come on, like, I just want to be loved. I don't want to like get older and older and I'm like, what, I'm still single, like what the hell, do you know what I mean? So it's like, I want someone.
Yeah, it's a,
and I'm not trying to act desperate, but you know, like, do you know what I mean, Bobby? It's like,
yeah, but it's a tough one. I know what you mean. Like, I'm not saying, if you feel like you want to go and explore, go and stick your toe in it and get your hair wet, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
for someone that's kind of gone, for someone that's been on both buses, so to speak, though, I think you could. And again, everyone's different. The world we live in now, do you know what I mean? So this certainly ain't like a one size fits all kind of thing.
Yeah. But
for me personally, I think I knew after. I've been with a couple of women.
Yeah.
I know that I wouldn't end up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think afterwards I was more, I'd be more happy laying there plaiting her hair. You know what I mean? that's kind of where I was at. But the world's your oyster. So now you've stuck your toe in the old dating pond. How are you feeling moving forward? Can you see yourself, like you say, you want a relationship? Do you feel like you do kind of want to settle down? But I guess you seem like you're in this conundrum that you don't know. Do you feel you will go and want to sleep with both?
You know,
to
find
out what tickles you most.
That's what I thought. Yeah, and you know what? I was really considering like a threesome, maybe having a man and a woman, seeing what I like. I don't know if that's
as your first experience.
You know what I mean? Like having a taste of both and seeing what you like. Is it man or woman? I don't know if you've got a dick in front of you or a vagina. See what you go with.
I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't normally say this to a guest in an interview, but I kind of feel like it's that no bars old here.
Exactly.
When it comes to where's your head at when you think about being with someone, shall we say?
Yeah.
who or what are you thinking about in their moments?
Well, that's a tough question. I guess the first thing I'll be thinking is like, what sexual positions shall we do and stuff?
For both, or like in your head, if someone says, right, you're going to meet someone,
you know what?
Sex, or you imagine having sex with someone, are you thinking Vicky B or David B?
You know what, babe? I think the first taste I want to get is David B.
I think that answers pretty much the question,
after David, and then, but then after David B, maybe trying Vicky. Is it Vicky V? Was it Vicky V?
Vicky B.
So, but obviously, you know, it's just. Yeah, that's the thing, babe. I just, I know what I like, but I keep thinking maybe I need to just constantly try more things and see, just to be 100% sure.
Yeah.
So did it help?
What, in the experience? You mean with
doing
the show?
Did doing the show help you come to any conclusions or not?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, no, but to be transparent with you, that's a good question, Stefan. Because Anna and Paul, when it came to those one-to-one sessions, you know, those one-to-one sessions, they were really, really trying to help and support me to see what I like. But obviously, I can't go into too much detail because it will be on later episodes. But you'll get to see, like, a bit of me opening up when it comes to those things. But, you know, it's tough. I'm not going to lie. It's very tough. Mm. And it's genuine just because even when I was at uni, to be honest, I thought I really had this thing with men, like, oh my God, they're so hot guys, like at uni. But I was always thinking, like, do you fancy them or is it just you like them as a friend? So it's a disaster, babe. It's a disaster.
No, I think it is. I don't think see it as a disaster. I just think it's things just ain't black and white. Do you know what I mean? And I think when you know, but the key is don't put pressure on yourself. Because until you truly know what you want and you can't worry about other people, which is so much easier said than done, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the minute you can kind of become content in your decision and you know who you want to date and who you want to be, I mean, the world is completely your oyster, but I'd say the key is don't kind of rush yourself into feeling like you have to make a decision, because anything, it's 50 shades of grey, babe. I know. Going out from the chandelier, do you know what I mean?
And Bobby, babe, you won't believe it. Literally, once I opened Grindr, and after 24 hours, I just deleted it because I thought people say, why don't you try Grindr as a dating app? But I was like, you know what, babe, for like people that are inexperienced, I think Grindr was a bit too much because I just wanted to see like how it is, because, you know, I need to understand more how it works with the gay community. And just having dick pics, then I don't think that really helped, because like it terrified me a bit, really.
That's hard. You know? That's really hard to well, literally hard. Like that's like a difficult thing, like to deal with. So I appreciate that. What's next for you? Once the celebs go dating is over, what's next for you?
Is it OnlyFans? Because Terry Katona told you to join OnlyFans along with some other sex shit.
Oh yeah,
did you take that on board? Are you going to be a link in bio kind of guy?
You know what, babe? That's a good question. I'm not going to lie. You know what is, babe? With me, I'm a person that goes more with like with the flow and with the energy. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to put too much pressure. And also, like, I really want to, like, genuinely, like, I don't know if I can say this because it's obviously going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
say anything here, babe.
You know what? You know what I'm trying to say, babe. I mean, don't go kill me, the press team. Don't, you know, for celebs go dating.
Nah, tell us. But fuck them.
You know what I mean? But it's, yeah. It's just, I really want to constantly explore myself, basically, and just have more fun with myself. Sorry, that's actually come out wrong.
You can do that with yourself and with other people.
Yeah. But will it be on OnlyFans or not? That's what Kerry's telling you to do, isn't she?
Exactly. She was like, why don't you get an OnlyFans? I was like, babe, I mean, I'd love to, but that's a bit too extreme for me at the moment. Let me first understand exactly what I want. Do you know what I mean?
Baby steps. That's the next step.
Yeah, exactly. Baby steps.
Yeah, you're in your vanilla era.
Exactly. Vanilla era. That's a good one.
Yeah. Don't be rushing for the gimp mouse or anything just yet.
Yeah, I know, trust me. And you know what? I just, go with the flow, really. But I mean, right now, as you can see, I'm just like enjoying myself, getting to learn more from the agents, how to properly date people, what kind of questions to ask them, and just literally explore my sexuality even more, really.
So that's kind of your plan going forward then? Like, what you want from life, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, exactly. But after this as well, again, I can't say too much. I'm planning to head to the States to collaborate with Kim Kardashian's ex, which I don't know if you know him.
Chris Humphries?
With a Ray J.
Oh, Ray J?
Yeah.
You're going to collaborate with Ray J?
With Ray J, yeah. So basically, you know, he's got his new headphones that he's released in the UK market. Well, not the UK, sorry, the US market.
I didn't know that, but I do now.
Yeah. And then basically he wants to do something here in the UK and he wants to get me involved, but I can't go into too much detail because, again, they'll kill me if I say stuff, you know, if I keep spilling up more tea.
Blabbering.
I should say, yeah, exactly. Blabbering. It's like all these bloody contracts. But yes, I'm doing something with him. But recently I did like a collab with Tyson Fury on his Furiosity drink as well, which was really nice. And there's some things in the pipeline, but again, I can't say too much because of stupid contracts.
That's quite all right. Do you think in the end you'll leave the pharmacy world behind?
You know what, babe, that's a good question, but I have to be honest, pharmacy is my bread and butter. Like, I've studied for 5 years to become a pharmacist, and you know, I love medicine and I love drugs, obviously not taking them but helping people, obviously. So and you know, it's obviously always going to be with me, and it's something I'm proud of, you know. It's a difficult subject to actually pass, so going to be fair, trust me. And, you know, we've got business as well. So you need to have like a business on the side.
Well, it's good.
And I think a job like that, especially something you've trained 5 years for, that's exactly a passion. You've got to truly love something. And it's to kind of close the door on that.
Yeah, no, that'll be stupid of me to do. Of course. Yeah, that'll be stupid if I do that.
And probably quite nice to kind of have that other thing to go to in between. Yeah. Has anyone come in for their paracetamols or their night nurse and asked you about Celebs Go Dating or The Apprentice?
Yeah, funny enough, today I had like 4 or 5 people coming in and I was at the office upstairs. They're like, oh my God, we love you on The Apprentice. Not on The Apprentice, sorry, it was on The Celebs Go Dating. You're so funny. We enjoy watching it. So, that's yeah. Nice. But it's been quite supportive, you know. People are like saying, you know what, we understand you, like we understand the struggle, because obviously with your parents as well. So people are quite supportive. So it's quite nice to have that support system as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The key is, babes, you be happy. Do you know what I mean? You'll know in here one day something will just click, I promise you. But as I say, don't ever feel pressured from any outside source to make a decision or, you know, look at me, I've gone all cancer. Like, I've not done a day of therapy still, but I feel like I could be some kind of therapist/counsellor, actually, like a life coach, maybe.
But honestly, I hope you don't mind, if there's any sort of, like, questions, because I still need to explore more about the gay community. And you know what is really hard as well, dating in the gay community? Because it's like, you know how it is? It's like, they always look at your pictures or like that 6-packs. Do you know what I mean? It's really hard to like to have a guy that's, I'm not to be rude, but you know, if you don't have that body, it's like, it's a bit more difficult to date in the LGBT community.
That is not true.
No, that's what I felt.
That's interesting. That's what you feel. That's interesting. That's what you feel, but that isn't true. There is that side of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is definitely more to it than that.
Yeah, and I think
there's a lot of cheating that usually goes on.
I think always, that equally happens in all walks of life. Yeah. I think there'd be straight people and bisexual people of all sexualities that experience that. And that comes down to, I think, the person rather than their sexuality that they fall into. But in terms of, like you say, about being harder to date, I think bodies almost don't even come into. I think dating now is just so hard.
It is.
The world we live in, and I think social media and with all the dating apps, everyone's almost looking for the next best thing and comparing lives and I think a lot of that is people see people's versions of real life on social media, and maybe look at theirs thinking, "Oh, mine isn't this, mine isn't that." But as I always say, like who. Because you can easily look at someone's social media and they go, their husband or their wife, their partner, their amazing house, their amazing life. They always look happy.
You know that's nothing.
Who in the middle of a row picks up the phone and says, let's take a selfie or do a story?
And if you are, then you're a fucking nutter.
And then you're a nutter. So what you do see is you see people having a nice dinner or having a cocktail or on holiday, but you don't see what... When things aren't great, but I don't know if it's necessarily just the gay community, although I do think it is very hard dating in the gay community.
Navid, honestly, I feel like we could talk to you all night, or we could do a whole show about this, because it's a really interesting topic of conversation.
Is it past 15 minutes?
It's gone way past 15 minutes. We've got our next guest coming on.
I'm so sorry, guys.
No, it's not your fault. No, it's a really interesting chat, and I genuinely do think it's something that needs to be explored more, because it's a real world problem that really happens. But thank you so much for joining us. Best luck with the rest of Celebs Go Dating.
Thank you.
And looking
lovely
forward to seeing more of you
guys.
You too.
Love you
too,
to you, Bobby.
Thank you
take
so
care.
Much.
We'll take care, babes. Bye, lovely. Bye-bye.
Bye. Do you know what? That's actually a really interesting conversation. I don't know if we've ever had someone that's been questioning their sexuality like that before. I find that really interesting.
I don't think we have.
Not at that age. Not at Nick coming up 30.
And quite an interesting approach to it, to think actually just to almost get it out of the way. My first sexual experience, let's just have a threesome and find out which turns me on the most.
I think we know which is going to turn him on the most. I'm just putting that out there. I don't think, I mean, yeah, one of the first things he said to you, Bobby, is that he found you very attractive. So...
Oh, I've got taste.
It's interesting. I'm intrigued. Maybe we can get back on and talk about it more sometime. We have Freddie Bentley up next, so let's get him on to chat. Maybe he can talk to us about coming out.
Hello, Fred. Can't see you, mate.
You can't see me. Wait there.
Hello.
Hello, how are we?
Really good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm okay. It's been a tough year, but I'm okay. I'm okay.
Oh, tell us. Tell us more about you. Like, obviously, sorry to hear about your health.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It has been scary, Bob and Stephen. Honestly, it's been literally the scariest year of my life. When they say life flashes in front of you, it literally did. So back in June, I was actually in the Dominican with my family, loving life.
Lovely.
And I collapsed with so much pain. And I literally looked like a Simpson character because I was bright yellow. So I had to fly home early, landed at Gatwick Airport and literally went straight to the hospital. And obviously I had jaundice, but they didn't understand why I had jaundice, basically. So
the jaundice is what makes you yellow, isn't it?
Yeah, jaundice like is liver what makes failure. You yellow. Liver
yeah,
failure.
My cat had that.
Yeah. I didn't realise cats
like
get that.
A terrible thing.
I hope your cat's the right, Bob.
No, she ain't, unfortunately, bless her.
God, oh, bless her.
That's all right.
That's another story.
That's another story.
Sorry, back to Gatwick. You land at Gatwick.
Yeah, so you land at Gatwick, and then I go straight to the hospital, and they said that I had got jaundice, but I had to stay in the hospital because they couldn't figure out why a young person, I was 24 at the time, had jaundice. Normally you get jaundice if you're an alcoholic or, like you say, you've got liver failure. And because I'm a gay man, they was convinced at first that I was HIV positive and that I either had HIV or that I had hepatitis B. Because I was in a foreign country. And obviously, as a 24-year-old man, gay man, there's so much stigma that comes with that as well. So I was really taken back. It wasn't that got me all clear. It came back negative. Then they thought I had cancer, which obviously it was also shocking. So I'm literally hearing bad news after bad news whilst in excruciating pain. But then I got the all clear from cancer. But then they come back to me. It's bad with the good, really, isn't it? But then they come back to me and told me that I've got a liver disease called PSC. Now, what PSC stands for is primary sclerosing colitis. Now, what that is we all have bile ducts coming down from our liver and from our bowels that filters our liver. And PSC attacks your bile ducts, basically. So your liver function isn't right. So for instance, if you two had normal functioning livers, your liver levels should be around 130. Mine were at 850. So it was life threatening. They thought at one point that I wasn't going to make it, which was obviously horrendous, especially at the age of 24. But then they told me that I had 10 years of usefulness of my liver remaining, 10 years of usefulness before I would either have to have a liver transplant. But obviously, a liver transplant isn't guaranteed. So,
is it not?
No, it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. So, yeah. So, it depends how,
Do you mean guaranteed to work?
Guaranteed to work, yeah. But obviously, my liver, to get a match.
Yeah.
So obviously, when they said all this, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. But what went through my head was horrendous. But they offered me clinical trials. So that would mean I would be a guinea pig. So I refused that because I thought, imagine I went for that clinical trial and I ended up worse. So I refused that. What I did was knock booze on the head straight away. Obviously, I do put on social media that I'm this, 3 months sober, 4 months sober, 5 months sober. And I think, the reason why I wanted to do this interview is because a lot of people thought that I had an alcohol problem when it wasn't that. I need to stress, PSC isn't related to alcohol. However, alcohol isn't good for your liver. So when you've got a weak liver like me, it's going to affect it. So I've been 5 months sober now, which has been amazing. But also I done this therapy called RTT. Now that is a rapid transformational therapy. So basically, as humans, we carry a lot of trauma throughout our life, which can make you poorly in other ways. So what this therapy does, now you're going to think I'm absolutely fucking nuts, but it worked.
I need to book myself in already.
My auntie does it, babe. I'll give you a discount. What this does is gets to bottom of trauma, basically, and allows you to let it go. Now, I had the therapy thinking really nothing of it. You know, it did work. I become out of pain because there's nothing you can treat with PSE. It's literally, you get a diagnosis and, you know, you just have to wait to see how your life goes, basically.
Fred, just quickly, do they know yet what causes it?
It's inherited. So basically, my nan had a weak liver and she's no longer with us, God bless
her. So it's hereditary.
Inherited. Yeah, so you only ever know when something, like you collapse, basically. When it goes There's wrong. No signs, yeah. When it goes wrong. And obviously...
See, that's scary, isn't it?
It is scary because you normally only ever get diagnosed with it late 30s. And I was 24 when I got diagnosed with it. So I'm a rare breed.
So in a way, that it happened then. If they're saying 10 years now, if you weren't diagnosed till your 30s, you almost would have been at a point where you needed a transplant immediately.
There and then. And you know what it is, Bob and Stephen, as well? I feel like there's so much stigma around sobriety in young people. If I don't go out and go to the pub and get absolutely pissed, then I'm classed as boring, where I don't need to have a drink to get my personality out. Do you know what I mean? So I felt like that was actually the biggest struggle, more the stigma. What people thought of me rather than actually getting sober. I found getting sober easy because when you're faced with life or death really in front of you, it's easy to change your life. And as well, you know, what I did to keep myself focused is launch my new business. So I launched a business called Freddie & Co. within this 5 months. And it's a TikTok shop that I sell high design. I'm actually in my warehouse now. I just sell high design makeup and bags and, you know, at a discounted rate. I've got a really good relationship with all the brands. So I'm able to sell them to, you know, the audience at such a huge discounted rate. So that's really, really kept me focused. On my health. So I was having going to the Royal Free Hospital every 3 months, and you know, there was not much change in my liver. So obviously the transplant was still going ahead, and basically my last appointment that I went to was the most relieving, because I went there and they done my liver levels again and they had reduced significantly. So they've gone right down. Just because of giving up drinking. So it just goes to show how poisonous alcohol is. And if I'm honest with you guys, if I'm going to be really honest, I would never class myself as an alcoholic. I mean, who would anyway? But also, alcohol wasn't doing me any favours. The last time I spoke to you, you both interviewed me because obviously I got arrested regarding the homophobic attack. But if I wasn't drinking at that time, then I wouldn't have reacted in the way that I did. I would have handled it much better. So it wasn't doing me any favours anyway. So being diagnosed with PSE, in a way, has been a massive blessing in disguise. It's been a wake-up call first and foremost, but I've really pulled my finger out. Like I said, I'm running a successful business at the age of 25 now, which I never thought. I mean, I could barely wipe my own ass, letting them run a business. So how I'm doing that is phenomenal, and I'm really, really proud of myself. And, you know, like I said, it's a blessing in disguise. So they've actually, my liver levels has reduced significantly, but also they've taken me off the liver transplant list as well now. So
that's amazing.
It's amazing. They haven't ruled it out. Like, they're not, you know, they said in 40 years time, you might have to have it. But if I continue to live my life the way I am, it's looking all positive. So I've gone from the beginning of the year thinking I'm going to die and living my last moments to actually I've been given a new lease of life. It's phenomenal.
It's quite interesting when people do give up alcohol, how people I know that have done it, how quickly their lives change. I think most gay men have probably always had a fairly complicated relationship with alcohol anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
That's definitely something that exists in the gay community. You mentioned the sort of judgment of your friends. Have you lost any friends in the process, or have people in the end been quite understanding?
Do you know what? I've got my circle small anyway, but do you know what? I've got the most supportive friends and family. They all knew, you know, I wouldn't ever be public about this really normally unless it was raised awareness, and that's what I want to do more than anything. Not even really about PSC, more about sobriety in the younger generation. Mm. But they've been really supportive because they knew that alcohol wasn't good for me anyway. Yeah. So actually, I think a part of them are relieved that this has happened. I know that sounds really twisted to say, but if I didn't have that wake-up call, Stephen, I don't know what path I would have gone down. Because, you know, this industry, I was at a point that, you know, I'd done all my TV. I was content and happy with what TV I'd been on. And, you know, I didn't care if I went back on TV. You know, I was at that point in my life. But I felt lost and I felt vulnerable. So I did turn to alcohol. You know, because, you know, you go to these events, they hand you a Prosecco as soon as you walk in the door. Mm-hmm. And it's only realized, only really as I got older, that I realized that I had a problem when I was younger about being gay. And, you know, I suppressed that with alcohol and God knows what else. And it was only really as I was an adult that I've actually been comfortable in enough to be able to get sober, to be happy with who I am as a person.
In terms of the PCS, and like you say, I guess unless you're tested for something which wouldn't happen until you kind of get to your stage where you clearly know something's a problem, what do they say, or have they said, from a medical point of view, how is this something that someone can be aware about before it gets to that point? Or is there really no indicator, there's signals or signs?
So obviously the first sign is jaundice. So it only really ever is, the only first sign is when it's really too late, if I'm honest with you, in the aspect of that your liver is failing and it's screaming out for help. Itchy skin's a sign, yellow jaundice is a sign. It's really weird because alcohol has never agreed with my body in the fact that I would always be sick on a night out anyway. I thought nothing of it, but that's a sign because my liver couldn't handle it. So it would reject it. So if you're someone that is violently sick after alcohol, that's a very early, early sign that it's PSC. But the weird thing is that you can't be tested for PSC. It's the way you get diagnosed is to rule out everything else first.
Right.
So
it's almost for a process of elimination that they can come to that, which is kind of scary. Because I only asked that because if there was someone that was watching and listening to this and I think, oh, that resonates with me. But like I say, if there's no real symptoms until it gets to that point, it's scary to think that someone can be living with something that's kind of going to get to a point it has to get so bad before they'll even know. Isn't that kind of the scariest thing?
Is the scariest thing
for you that look, you've been able to turn, do you know what I mean, that things turn have turned out good and you've turned it around. Because
how, do you know what, speaking to the doctor, Bob, it's actually quite shocking how many people don't listen to the doctor. And people think that the doctor threatens you with this for shits and giggles, basically. Yeah. There's so many people that get... So 6 in 100,000 people get diagnosed with PSC. So really...
It's very, very rare.
Oh, so rare. I mean, I've been picked out. I feel
so
like
is that why, that's why there's no got chosen test for it yet. I guess that's why you can only find out through elimination. Because if there's only 6 out of that many people, there wouldn't be the science into even testing for that yet.
Right, and it's not really common in England. It's more common in the USA. A lot more common in the USA. Don't know why.
Maybe that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, because like things like I'm never allowed to eat a burger again in my life. Because fatty meats will trigger the PSA. Fatty meats, raw fish, alcohol will all trigger the PSC.
Someone I know who had liver failure, the list of things that they couldn't eat was actually really, really fascinating. And it was things like pineapple and things like that. Yeah. There was like salt.
You basically not allowed can't oranges. Eat not yeah, allowed oranges.
Citrus fruits are really bad for your liver, but no one ever, because really it's in bad. Such low doses for most people that it's fine. You know, your body can deal with it. But if you have a damaged liver, then it's slightly different. So I guess it's a complete transformation to the way you approach your life now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what? Like I said, it's a massive blessing. I wouldn't have my business, Freddie & Co., without it. Mm. And, you know, it has really gave me the kick up the ass I needed. You know, look, so many people feel sad for me. I don't want the sympathy. It's not what I'm trying to gain from this. I want to raise awareness about sobriety in the younger generation, that you don't have to, you know, abuse alcohol or go out and drink all the time to have a laugh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your personality is within you regardless. So that's why I'm here, lads.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I'm really impressed. It's an incredible journey you've been on.
And it's an amazing thing, like you're saying. I guess the reason so few of us have heard of that is because it's such a rare thing. Like when I was reading the briefing earlier, I'd never heard of that condition. But I guess unless you suffer from it or you know someone very close to you, it's one of them things that we're oblivious to. Mm. So, wow.
And do you know what? Yeah. Do you know what I think? The one thing is bad though, boys. Obviously, being gay, you both know, is a stigma with being gay. You know,
what makes you think I'm gay, Fred?
I wouldn't know, Bob. Sorry for assuming. Sorry
You've
for
just doubted me. That would be the
time. Go on. Exactly. But no, the thing is, the stigma of that the doctor assumed and jumped to hepatitis B and HIV straight away, which actually is more common in straight women than it is anyone else now as well. But I think the scary thing is as well is, you know, with intercourse, I have got to be really careful because I'm not allowed to take things like PrEP. Because it's really bad for my liver, and obviously, God forbid, if anything obviously did happen, my liver just wouldn't cope with it. My liver just wouldn't cope with it. So I'm just extra careful now. I'm celibate. I've been celibate for the last 5 months.
Me too, babe, but that's not because I've got a condition, so...
Yeah, see, this is what I mean. Mine's pushed me over here.
Yeah.
I'm basically honestly, the Virgin Mary.
It's Christmas time, so that's perfect. It's really nice to have you on and for you to raise awareness of it. And best of luck, I hope to have you on again. And like Christmas time and sobriety can be really tough, so I've heard. So, you know, like best of luck because, yeah, I mean, it's a brave thing you're doing.
So much, boys. I appreciate it and all your support. And let's hopefully raise some awareness around it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Freddie. Really appreciate it.
Take care. Have a lovely Christmas, babe.
And you too. Love you both. Thank you.
You too. Bye. Bye. We've just been discussing big gay issues tonight. I was not expecting it to be like this.
You know what I feel? I feel like we've just stumbled upon a new show where we can do like gay politics.
The gay show. It's the gay show.
We're on to something here.
We
could have another show. Gay politics. I mean, the conversations and the topics.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss. And that's really genuinely interesting with Freddie. I do find the sobriety in the gay community stuff really interesting as someone that had difficulties with it myself and in my family. And yeah, interesting. I find it really fascinating.
Yeah, what a show.
What a show. What have you got coming up, Bob, this week? Anything exciting?
Oh, I'm going to have a lay down after that.
An intense therapy session.
I have got quite a busy week. Got a little bit of work, which I can't go into details. Right. It's a little bit of brand stuff. And then what have I got? I'm going to see Nanny Norris, which I'm excited to
lovely.
See. So yeah, I think that
sounds great.
That's about it. How about you, babes?
Well, I've got my the launch of Modern Black Tie, my friend's book, this evening in Savile Row, which I'm really looking forward to. I've got a friend down from Scotland this week who I'm seeing tomorrow night, which would be awesome. And this weekend, I am going around my friend's house for our big like friends Christmas party. So quite a lot of
I've got that the next week. I love them ones.
Yeah,
so are you staying in for it week. Rather than going out?
Oh yeah, we're not going out. My friends,
I love the staying in one so much more.
My friends and my friend and his husband are like hosts extraordinaire. They have the most gorgeous house not far from me. Big house, nice. Well, big terrace house, you know, for London. Nice big garden, and they're just excellent hosts. So
amazing.
So I'm quite looking forward to that on Saturday. So yeah, all good. It's exciting times. Christmas is here, and I'm actually feeling quite festive.
Oh, fab. Well, have a lovely time.
Thank you. I will be
all about it next week's show. We'll have a little debrief on Abby and Mix. And yeah, guys, tune in for that because we're going to be giving our opinions on it.
Shit to say.
shit's going down, spilling the tea, guys. But thank you very much, as always. And see you all next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.